It is Tuesday, September 3rd, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Support for KUAF comes from the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, now featuring retail suppliers, including packaging specialists, printing, graphic services, plus local business news from Northwest Arkansas. Subscriptions and more information available at 725-0394 or nwabusinessjournal.com.
Ahead on this edition of the program, a new generation of canning. Jacqueline Froelich goes to a county fair to find out why so many younger people are rediscovering food preservation.
Plus, the finesse required to portray a living, performing legend. Nick Cosgrove, who plays Frankie Valli in Jersey Boys, talks to us about the show opening tonight at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville.
But first, students at Fayetteville High School started the new school year with new facilities as Phase 2 of the renovation and expansion project at the campus was completed over the summer. Phase 1 of the $96 million project recently received LEED Silver accreditation. Alan Wilborn, the Public Communications Director for the Fayetteville School District, says the application for LEED certification involves several factors throughout both the design and construction process.
One of the things that's most noticeable when you're in the new part of the building is the lighting. The design takes tremendous advantage of the available natural light and some great southern views, so which that reduces the number of light fixtures that were needed, and so obviously that reduces the energy cost there. In the construction, 78% of the total waste from Phase 1 was diverted away from landfills. So that you could recover the recyclable materials and all those type situations. So that greatly lessened the impact on local landfills.
Because the building was constructed on an existing site, there was no additional cost to run sewer, water, electrical, and other utility services to the building. In addition to acknowledging the sustainable aspects of the project, Wilburn says the LEED certification shows the school district is being good stewards of taxpayer money by making an investment in a facility he says should last the district another 60 years.
The first Fayetteville High School that was constructed on this site was built in 1952, and it obviously had some modifications and some changes, but it served as well for generations of students attended that school. That's the thought with this particular building, that we know it's structurally sound, it's well built, and is taking advantage of all the new latest technology, and to make it also the safest possible environment in terms of the energy, in terms of all of the paints and finishes that were used are very low in terms of the smells and all those kind of things. So it's a very amenable place to be.
He says district officials have found through the years that students react to their environment, and a clean, well-lit place provides a positive atmosphere conducive to learning. The LEED certification cost about 1% of the overall construction budget, or about $960,000. Wilburn says the entire Fayetteville High School project is the third LEED certified project in the district behind the new Happy Hollow and Butterfield Trail elementary schools.
A deal has been reached with Nordex to repay more than $2.5 million to the state of Arkansas and city of Jonesboro in money received to establish its North American wind turbine manufacturing plant. The company announced earlier this year it would stop production at its Jonesboro plant and would not be able to meet promised employment goals. Joe Holmes with the Arkansas Economic Development Commission says when the state began working with Nordex in 2008, the commission had high hopes the wind energy market would take off. But then Nordex decided to consolidate manufacturing in Germany as a result of uncertainty in the market.
They still have a facility in Jonesboro that will be devoted to storage, training, and service, but it's not going to be employing nearly the people that they thought they were going to employ, which at one time they thought it would be as many as 700. And just given some of the market circumstances, they were never able to approach that.
A total of almost $4 million of the governor's Quick Action Fund was originally paid out for the project. The $2.5 million from Nordex is the largest such payback the state has received.
Beginning today, the city of Bentonville will close Northwest 2nd Street between Northwest A and D Streets. The street will remain closed to through traffic for about 3 weeks as crews replace the water main and service lines located in the street. While residents living in the affected area will be allowed to enter and exit their driveways while the project is underway, any east or westbound through traffic will be required to use West Central until the project is finished.
A recently passed ordinance by the Fayetteville City Council changed regulations for door-to-door soliciting in the city. All permitted vendors and peddlers who go door-to-door must abide by no soliciting signs posted by property owners. As such, the city is offering no soliciting signs to residents free of charge. Currently, the decals can be picked up at the city's Development Services office at 125 West Mountain or at the mayor's or city clerk's offices in City Hall at 113 West Mountain Street. The signs will be offered at additional locations in the future, and residents can also print off a copy of the sign at the city's website, accessfayetteville.org.
Today is the day for the special election runoff to fill a vacancy on the Springdale City Council. Candidates Rick Culver and Mike Lawson are vying for the Ward 4 Position 1 seat on the council. Polls are open until 7:30 tonight. By the way, the polling place for Washington County precincts previously voting at Smith Elementary has changed. Voters in Precinct 7 and 14 now vote at Calvary Church at 1000 North Gutenson. Voters in Precinct 27 will vote at Oak Grove Church on Oak Grove Road. For a full list of polling places in Washington County, you can visit the county's website, co.washington.ar.us. There are also two polling places in Benton County. Precinct 18 votes at Cave Springs Community Building. Precinct 42 at Bethel Heights Moose Lodge.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals have finished the regular season. The Nats lost the final home game of the season against Tulsa Friday night with a final score of 4-3, and the momentum didn't improve in the three-game road series in Little Rock against the Travelers. The Nats lost Saturday with a final score of 3-2 and were shut out by the Travs Sunday and yesterday. The Naturals finished the 2013 season with a record of 59-81. The 2014 season begins April 3rd. Clear tonight with lows from 54 in northwest Arkansas to 64 in the Arkansas River Valley. Sunny tomorrow with highs from 87 in northwest Arkansas to 91 in the Arkansas River Valley. Mostly clear tomorrow night with lows from 58 degrees in northwest Arkansas to 63 degrees in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. The local food movement, comprised of individual and neighborhood gardens, has created renewed interest in food preservation. For more than 100 years, county extension agents have worked within communities, teaching the art and the science of canning. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich, who's preserved blueberries, applesauce, and okra on her own, takes us to the county fair to meet an extension agent who is a master food preservationist.
Temperatures hover around 100 degrees this afternoon. On this, the final weekday of the 2013 Washington County Fair, farm families tend to livestock in breezy barns. A girl named Emily gives her prize goat Rebel a bath. Since last weekend, fairgoers have enjoyed the Beauty Queen contest, gospel music, daily pig races, tractor pulls, and of course the carnival. But county fairs are also big reunions where farm families show off their best livestock, horticulture, and preserves, vying for that much coveted blue ribbon.
In my 19 years with Extension, I've never seen so many people. I am new to this. Tell me how to enter.
Washington County Extension Service Agent Linda Chapel, an expert food preservationist and judge in other counties, gathers up jars of winning preserves from a display rack and sets them on a red checked cloth covered table as a big swamp cooler and huge fans hum around us.
Products like salsa, tomato juice, or they might have a full garden and they've got green beans and corn and carrots. We even have carrots this year, so that's kind of new. We also have honey. We'll have people with honey, all kinds of jellies. A lot of your first-time food preservation folks, they can do jelly very easily. You don't have to have a pressure canner to do that. It's just a water bath process, so we'll have a lot of varieties of jelly. So that, and they're pretty excited. They come back and they see their ribbons and they're ecstatic when they see they've got a blue ribbon.
Novel preserves are also appearing at local county fairs.
People are getting a lot more adventuresome, so we have dried mushrooms. Dehydrators are really popular. We have dried mushrooms. This one is dried zucchini. We have a really wonderful, fragrant dried lavender. They just grew different herbs in their garden and dried them, and you smell them and you pinch them.
Linda Chapel learned the art of food preservation as a girl raised on a dairy farm between Blue Eye, Missouri and Berryville.
I actually began in my mom and my grandma's kitchen. So when you know how to do, so I can't remember not going through a year not canning. You know, my grandparents, my age grandparents, they still can. They still have a garden, they still can. But then we kind of skipped a generation, but it's coming back.
Evidenced by the increasing number of entries into the county fair, as well as inquiries for office, she said. Linda Chapel says food preservation was a common practice through the Great Depression. But after the war, modern homemakers, especially in urban areas, took to store-bought. But many American farm families still put up their own vegetables and fruits. Over 1,000 entries at this county fair. The USDA and County Cooperative Extension System historically are recognized as the most credible sources for science-based recommendations for food preservation.
Every county has extension homemakers, and then each county, so there are clubs that are throughout the county. In the communities, we're still very much community-based. So there will be a club in Elkins and Goshen and Bethel Heights, so all the different communities. And then there will be officers, and then those officers come in to form our county council.
Extension councils decide programming, including food preservation classes.
First, you can go to uaex.edu and click on publications. Our website's pretty easy to find things, and if you just want to know how to preserve tomatoes, you can go there. Or if you want to know how to grow tomatoes, it'll take you to a different spot, and it's in the agriculture section on growing tomatoes. Or you can call our office. I would much rather you call my office and visit with me. I will talk to you, figure out exactly what you want to do, and I'll be glad to send you some stuff in the mail, or you can drop by. And we have three wonderful secretaries in our office here in Washington County, and they are more than happy to find you what you need. So our number is 444-1755. Come by and see us, and we'd love to help you get started in this or help you.
Linda Chapel is one of only a handful of food extension agents in Arkansas that's expert on food preservation. She also teaches safe restaurant food preparation certification courses. So what's the cost of the extension service canning classes?
Most classes are free or just for cost of supplies, like what it costs us to buy the jars, the sugar, or the vegetables. One of the easiest things, of course, is dehydrating. You just slice them very thin and then put them in a dehydrator or an oven or a solar oven. The next to that would be freezing. There are things you can freeze very easily, squash that you're gonna turn into bread, that's my favorite. Or some people love corn that is frozen. Some things don't freeze as well, they get a little tough. Of course, that requires freezer space. Not everybody has a big freezer. So if you don't want to do that, you can water bath certain items that's a little more of an acidy food, like tomatoes. They need to have enough acid in them that they don't have to be pressured. So pressure canning is the most labor intensive, and it has to be very specific on times and the amount of pressure, you know, 10 or 15 pounds of pressure. But we have very specific, again, guidelines. It's just a recipe on what you follow and how you do it.
And it's super satisfying to hear cooling jars of preserves pop as the metal lids contract and seal. Now, if they don't, no problem. Simply refrigerate immediately and consume the item within a few days. Cleanliness is key. Everything needs to be sterilized. Jars should have no nicks, and lids need to be new. Screw tops can be reused, but show no rust. Agricultural Extension Service offices publish clear, scientifically based instructions. Growing your own food, whether on porch pots, backyard beds, or in community gardens, is on the rise, and Americans are looking towards old traditions.
People do want to be able to raise their own food and be more self-sufficient. We actually had a call this week on somebody that they actually said they kind of live off the grid. They want to learn food preservation so that they can take care of their family. So we actually are getting those very specific questions. People just want to be able to take care of themselves.
So which preserve won best in show? Linda Chapel picks up a jar of orange marmalade.
Perfect. It's perfectly shaped, and it just looks like something you definitely want to eat.
Imagine spooning that onto your English muffin some blustery morning this coming winter. Heaven. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
To learn more about the UA Division of Agriculture Research and Extension Service, visit uaex.edu and select your county. If you'd like to hear a collection of historic interviews with Extension homemakers around the state, search the Features section on the Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History website at pryorcenter.uark.edu.
Walmart made news last week with a benefits policy change, and Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas includes that in his weekly review of the state's business and political news.
Walmart will change its benefits policy and allow the same-sex partners of its workers to qualify for company health plans. Full-time associates, spouses, and domestic partners will be eligible for coverage in medical, dental, vision, life, critical illness, and accident plans, the Bentonville-based retailer said in a postcard to employees this week. Walmart has more than half of its 1.3 million U.S. employees participating in company health care plans. Dr. Wayne Miller, an economist with the University of Arkansas's Division of Agriculture, has issued a new report, The Rural Profile of Arkansas 2013. It highlights how many manufacturing jobs in small towns have been shipped overseas in recent years. Miller's report on rural Arkansas pointed out that Arkansas lost nearly 63,000 manufacturing jobs from 2001 to 2010, which has greatly affected the economic base of those rural areas. Also, the state lost 29% of its manufacturing employment over this time period, compared to a 28% loss nationwide. State lawmakers on the House and Senate Revenue and Tax Committees are eyeing more tax cuts in the next legislative session and beyond. On Tuesday, legislators were presented with a chart showing how reducing the income tax by 0.2% per year and 0.3% per year would affect residents' tax brackets. The Clinton Foundation announced Wednesday that former President Bill Clinton will give an address on the Affordable Care Act next Wednesday, September 4th. Clinton's address will take place at the Great Hall of the Clinton Presidential Library in Little Rock at 10 a.m. The Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport in Little Rock will receive $5.1 million from the U.S. Department of Transportation. The funding will be used to rehabilitate the taxiway and runway lighting systems and reimburse the airport for land previously purchased for development. Port authorities in central Arkansas broke ground on Thursday on the Arkansas River Resource Center at the Port of Little Rock. The nearly $1.85 million 5,000-square-foot building will house the Little Rock Port Authority. Hot Springs-based shoe manufacturer Monroe & Company will close its Mount Ida facility, laying off 85 workers permanently. Monroe will continue to manufacture at its other two Arkansas facilities in Clarksville and in Hot Springs. The company blamed competition from imports for the downsizing. And on the political front, the big news was that Lieutenant Governor Mark Darr dropped his bid for Congress amid reports of problems with his campaign financial reports. Darr, a Republican, said it was best to focus on his family and serve out his term as lieutenant governor. Darr said he's leaving his options open at this point, definitely not running for governor or Congress, but leaving the door open to re-election as lieutenant governor, another elected office, or sitting the cycle out altogether. I'm Roby Brock, and that is your Talk Business Arkansas update.
Support for Roby Brock's review of this week's business and political news comes from Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com.
It's going to be my very great privilege to sing for you a song that's never been sung before by anybody. God bless America.
A history of Irving Berlin's song that was written during the First World War, tucked away, and brought out 20 years later before the Second. That's later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered this afternoon at 3 on KUAF.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
The documentary film A Place at the Table about hunger and food insecurity in the U.S. will be screened as part of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Fayetteville's Think Tank program tomorrow evening at 7. The free film screening will be followed by group discussion and reactions. UUFF's think tanks are intended to help participants expand their spiritual horizons and cultural understandings. Admission is free and open to the public. It's located at 901 West Cleveland Street in Fayetteville. And one more movie screening, Free Flicks Before Six series for teens, will show The Great Gatsby September 12th at 5:30 in the Walker Room of the Fayetteville Public Library. Also for teens and kids, the Mountainburg Public Library at 1300 North Highway 71 will have The Wee Out, as well as other games, every Friday afternoon in September.
Fayetteville's Literary Festival, sponsored by the Friends of the Fayetteville Public Library and the Fayetteville Montessori School, begins Thursday. The True Lit Fest is a collaboration between multiple Fayetteville institutions interested in celebrating literary adventures for all ages. The four-day festival includes many events that are free and open to the public. Events include workshops and lectures with both local and national authors, including Newbery Award winner Jack Gantos. For more information, you can go to the website truelitfest.com.
The University of Arkansas Community Design Center was honored for its Fayetteville 2030 Transit City Scenario project, which asked, what if 80% of the city's future growth was incented to locate around a six-mile streetcar system? The Design Center study was published in 2011 using a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. The American Architecture Awards are presented by the Chicago Athenaeum Museum of Architecture and Design and the European Center for Architecture, Arts, Design, and Urban Studies. The award program seeks to identify and promote best practices in all types of architectural development and to bring a global focus to light of the best new designs from the United States, according to a news release. All winning projects will be exhibited later this year at the Buenos Aires Biennial of Architecture in Argentina.
A hearing by the Arkansas Public Service Commission in Little Rock to decide the future of possible construction of a multi-state transmission line recessed on Friday rather than adjourn as expected. The construction in question would be a 60-mile-long, 345-kilovolt transmission line, part of which would be located in northern Benton and Carroll counties. Connie Griffin, the APSC's administrative law judge, made the decision Friday, she said, to both fully consider testimony by those in opposition to the $100 million project, as well as a motion by Southwestern Electric Power Company, SWEPCO, the applicant, to amend its original application. Carroll County resident Doug Stowe attended the hearing. He's on the board of directors of Save the Ozarks, a citizens' opposition group which has spent tens of thousands of dollars so far on expert witnesses and attorneys.
The purpose of the hearing, from the standpoint of the utility companies, was to get the APSC to decide which route would be used. From the standpoint of Save the Ozarks, the hearing was to determine whether the project was necessary, whether any of the routes had been given proper consideration, whether the environmental impact statement was at all accurate, or whether the project should be considered at all, whether it was needed, whether it was, you know, all of the above.
The preferred route will extend from Centerton, cross the ecologically sensitive White River watershed near the Beaver Bridge, and terminate on the Kings River, where a new substation is planned. As many as 360 160-foot-high double-circuit metal poles will be anchored 50 feet deep along a 150-foot-wide right-of-way. Southwest Power Pool, a regional transmission organization regulated by the federal government, ordered SWEPCO to install the line in 2008 to reduce bottlenecks on Northwest Arkansas's electric grid. Opponents claim the high-voltage transmission line is intended to transport and sell electricity for interstate commerce. Doug Stowe says he realizes citizen opposition rarely deters massive public utility projects like this one.
Well, our main objective was not necessarily to win the case this week, because we realized that that may not even be possible yet. Our attorney's objective was to build a strong case to go to before the Court of Appeals, because we know that there are some things in Arkansas law that have been allowed to slide by uncontested for years and that have not been fully considered in this kind of application,
including critical federal environmental permits. The hearing will recess for at least a week. After adjournment, if the judge rules in favor of opposition, the commission can override with a final decision issued within 60 days. Opponents may then petition the Arkansas Court of Appeals. It is Tuesday, September 3rd, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me, Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
How was your holiday?
Nice and calm.
Good.
Yeah, good.
I like that.
I do too.
So here we are back, and there's something really interesting going on tomorrow night on the UA campus in Fayetteville. It's called Aliens, Immigrants, and Other Evildoers.
Is this a one-person show?
It's a one-person show by a performance artist from New Orleans. Everybody cheer, just briefly. His name is Jose Torres Tama, and our reporter, Kevin Kinder, spoke with him. He says that the contradictions in immigration in the United States are just too big and too serious to leave alone. So he's set this to performance art called Aliens, Immigrants, and Other Evildoers. He says, you know, think about the fact that the United States begged for Germany to tear down a wall, mm-hmm. and now so many people want to build a wall between the United States and Mexico. He immigrated many years ago and has found success. He moved from Ecuador to the United States, sold coffee in Union Square, became an actor, and this play took shape in the days after Hurricane Katrina. He was living in New Orleans. It should be an interesting performance that includes visual arts elements and music and spoken word poetry. And it happens at 7:30 on Wednesday in the Hillside Auditorium. I'm not familiar with this.
Hillside Auditorium is where the Science Auditorium used to be.
Okay,
it's
got
near
it.
The Greek Theater. And I just saw it really in its finished form for the first time not too long ago. And it's a beautiful building that really comes out of the hillside.
Okay. The address, if you're doing this by GPS, is 870 West Dixon Street mm-hmm. in Fayetteville. The performance is free. And you can find out more at 225-223-3197.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Support for KUAF comes from the Fayetteville Underground, promoting the visual arts in Northwest Arkansas, supporting artists working to the highest standards, and contributing to the advancement of Fayetteville as a destination city for the arts. Information regarding art shows, concerts, and more available at FayettevilleUnderground.com. Theater Squared Season 8 begins with The Spiritualist, a world premiere by Robert Ford, with performances now through September 15th at Walton Art Center's Nadine Baum Studios. Inspired by a true story, this comic drama follows a widow's unlikely rise to fame after channeling the spirits of dead composers and completing their unfinished symphonies. Tickets and more information available at theater2.org or 443-5600.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansas Songs.
I know it's useless hanging on when you belong to someone else. Can't control the feeling, 'cause after all, I didn't make myself, yeah.
Albert King is the father of modern blues guitar and the most influential and imitated of post-World War II blues guitarists. King was born Albert Nelson on April 25, 1923, in Indianola, Mississippi. His father, Will, played guitar. In the early 1930s, he moved the Nelson family to East Arkansas, first Forest City in St. Francis County, and then Osceola in Mississippi County.
Born under a bad sign, since I began to crawl. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all.
It was during Albert King's decade at Stax Records of Memphis, Tennessee, that King at long last emerged as a giant in his field. The Stax House Band, Booker T and the MGs with the Memphis Horns, including Wayne Jackson of West Memphis, gave King a tightly arranged modern sound. During the Summer of Love in August 1967, Albert King's Born Under a Bad Sign album was released. The landmark album is credited with not only modernizing, but revolutionizing the moribund blues world. Further, it strongly influenced the emerging British invasion guitar work of Keith Richards, Jimmy Page, and others, especially Eric Clapton. Clapton and his band The Cream recorded their version of Born Under a Bad Sign for their album Wheels of Fire the month the Albert King album was released. Jimi Hendrix and Rita Coolidge were among the others who subsequently recorded the song.
Born under a bad sign.
Likewise, Led Zeppelin appropriated part of Albert King's still new song, The Hunter, into the closer of its debut album, but Led Zeppelin chose not to share credit. Ike and Tina Turner also had a hit with The Hunter, and it's been recorded by artists from Coco Taylor to Danzig. In 1971, John Mayall, considered the father of the English blues rock scene, a scene inspired in part by Albert King himself, produced King on an album for Stax. Stateside, the rock and roll world fell for Albert King as well, and the middle-aged Arkansasian found himself playing rock concerts and entrenched in the counterculture.
How long have I got to wait for you to stop minding me? How long have I got to wait for you to stop lying to me? There's gonna be some changes made, woman, you just wait and
meanwhile, Albert King kept up his end as a blues man for a new era. In 1969, Albert King performed with the St. Louis Symphony. In 1970, King recorded a tribute album to Elvis Presley, and in 1971, recorded an album at Muscle Shoals, Alabama, mostly comprised of songs by producer Don Nix and a cover of Honky Tonk Woman. King incorporated funk and other sounds into his blues, recording with the Bar Kays, Isaac Hayes' band The Movement, and the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. One of King's oddest pairings was with Albert Brooks on Brooks' 1975 comedy album, A Star Is Bought, which was nominated for a Grammy and also featured the likes of Alice Cooper, Linda Ronstadt, and Harry Nilsson. By the 1980s, a new crop of blues-oriented guitar slingers had risen, most of them heavily influenced by King, with Stevie Ray Vaughan emerging as the most prominent, the most vocal, and the most obvious disciple of Albert King. In the rap world, Albert King's songs have been sampled by a wide range of rappers from the golden age of hip-hop through today. Public Enemy, Cypress Hill, Wu-Tang Clan, DMX, Pretty Lights, Biz Markie, Big Daddy Kane, and more. 2013 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee Albert King died December 21, 1992, at his home in Memphis, Tennessee, of a heart attack. King was buried in nearby Edmondson in southern Crittenden County, Arkansas. Here in its entirety is Arkansas Your Albert King, recorded in 1971 by John Mayall with Stop Lying.
Thank you.
stop lying to me? How long have I got to wait for you to stop lying to me? It's gonna be some changes made, woman, you just wait and see. I love you, baby, and I tell the world I do. Oh, you know that I love you, and I tell the world I do. There's nothing in this world, honey, that I wouldn't do for you.
Stop Lying by influential East Arkansas blues guitar giant Albert King. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of FM 89 and Experiment Station Studios. Associate producer of Arkansongs is Keith Merks. For more information, visit arkansongs.org. Arkansongs, since 1999.
Many signs of summer ending and fall beginning are here. The Northwest Arkansas Naturals have completed their year. College and high school football schedules are already underway. And tonight, a sure sign of fall, the Walton Arts Center Broadway season opens. Up first, Jersey Boys, the high-energy, song-packed account of Frankie Valli's rise to fame. Nick Cosgrove is Frankie Valli in this touring production of the Tony Award-winning musical. He says he fell in love with the play as a teenager in Chicago. Last week, when I talked to Nick, I asked him if he had to work especially hard on his Jersey accent since he grew up in the Midwest.
Well, they have a dialect coach that works with us. His name is Stephen Gabus when we joined the company. But also, I'm lucky that I grew up in a very Italian household. My mother's maiden name is Scaniccio.
Okay.
So our Christmases and all of our get-togethers with my mom's side is very Italian and you know, although, yes, the Chicago dialect might be partially different from New Jersey, I have both my Italian background and working with our vocal coach when I've joined the show.
Did your mom like to listen to Frankie Valli?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, it's kind of funny. I mean, I'm only 25, but growing up, she only let us listen to oldies 104.3, so I grew up listening, you know, to Stevie Wonder and Etta James and the Temptations. I have a really strong love for Motown music as well. So Can't Take My Eyes Off You is actually the first Frankie Valli song I had ever heard.
If you're going to portray Abraham Lincoln, no one really knows what he sounded like. You know, there are no voice recordings. Even if you're going to play someone like Winston Churchill, he has passed on, so you can kind of put your own moves. You're not just playing someone living. You're playing someone who's not just living, he's still performing. That's quite a different thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's both an honor, but there's a lot of responsibility, of course. I mean, I'm lucky that I got to see him perform when we just played Chicago last May, I think it was. He performed at the Chicago Theater on that last Saturday, and I got to bring my parents to go and see him live in concert, and we met him afterwards. We went and had this, like, you know, little get-together backstage, and it was just incredible. So to get to see the man who you're portraying, you know, get to see him live was something else. He's unbelievable.
Now, the Frankie Valli that you are on stage is decades different, apart from the Frankie Valli that you saw on stage in Chicago last spring, but Is there anything that you can pick up from an older Frankie Valli that influences you as younger Frankie Valli?
I mean, it was just his stage presence. The way that he, first of all, the way that he interacted with the audience, you know, he just knows how to work a crowd. And then with his more simpler songs, he just knows how to be quiet and really draw you in and really take, like, his pauses always mean something. So, I mean, I really got to walk away from his performance as an educational experience on top of just, you know, seeing the real guy.
This is a show that requires you to be on stage a lot. I think it's more than two dozen songs that you sing.
Mm-hmm.
How emotionally draining is it to be almost always on stage, have that many songs, and you've always got to be on?
I think for my character, the hardest part isn't the singing. It's the fact that all of his direct address monologues to the audience happen within the last half hour of the show. So, you know, you really do have to pace yourself almost like you're running a marathon and, you know where, you know, because he has a screaming fight with his wife, you know, there are certain places where he explodes, you know, with anger vocally and just knowing how to take care vocally before the show even begins. I do a 26-minute warm-up tape about 2 hours before I have to be at the theater, drink a lot of tea, and just kind of rest up for that night's performance. But what's nice, too, is especially in the second act when I don't leave the stage, there are certain scenes where, you know, I'll be drinking coffee in the diner scene with Bob, but there's actual real water planted in that cup for me since I'm not able to get off stage to drink any water. So they very graciously have planted little places in the show, you know, in scenes and that kind of stuff to stay hydrated.
I was going to say, so when we're seeing you on stage, you're not just acting, you're hydrating as well.
Oh, yeah. No, we got to take care of both Nick. We got to take care of Nick, too, so I can, you know, do justice to this storytelling.
You're Frankie Valli for now, of course. You're with Jersey Boys. This was a show that stuck with you from your high school days in Chicago. Is there another show that's made an impression that you think, well, before I'm done here on this planet, I'd like to do that show?
Well, my next dream is I'd love to originate a role in a new musical. I mean, I think that's any actor's biggest dream is to, you know, to work with a creative team and a director and a playwright and kind of start a show from the ground up and be on the original, you know, cast recording. And that's kind of my next dream.
Nick Cosgrove is Frankie Valli in the touring production of Jersey Boys that opens tonight at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. You can find out more about shows, times, and tickets for this week's run at waltonartscenter.org.
And I've grown tired of traveling alone. Tired of traveling alone.
On the next Fresh Air, Jason Isbell performs songs from his new album, Southeastern, songs he wrote after getting sober. Join us.
I've grown tired of traveling alone. Tired of traveling alone. I've grown tired of traveling.
Fresh Air, tonight at 6 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
The duo The Civil Wars made quite a debut with their first recording, earning the Grammy for the Best Folk Album in 2012. They were invited to the White House and nominated for several other awards, including Vocal Duo of the Year at the Country Music Association Awards. Their eagerly awaited second release came out last month. The cover art features a building storm cloud, and as Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas explains, the music is just as brooding.
I wanna lose us, I wanna give up, but I won't.
The Americana folk duo, The Civil Wars, released their second album in early August, simply titled The Civil Wars. Released by Columbia Records and produced by Charlie Peacock, also the producer of their first album, Barton Hollow, This record bears a much darker mood than their previous work. Perhaps coincidentally, the album was released in the wake of their tumultuous breakup last fall, causing the group to cancel a European tour, citing irreconcilable differences of ambition. The songs are said to have been written during tough times for the duo. The Civil Wars is made up of Joy Williams and John Paul White, who met in 2008 at a Nashville songwriting camp. Williams previously wrote, sang, and performed Christian music. White, rock. The two found that their voices fuse nicely into a folksier genre. It's often just the two of them, a guitar and a piano, no band. Though the two have the appearance of a couple in love on stage, exhibiting a strong chemistry, they are each happily married to other people. Barton Hollow earned them 2 Grammys, Best Country Duo or Group Performance, and Best Folk Album. The melody of the first song on this second album sets an almost bitter tone. The soft yet powerful voice of William sings the simple yet painful lyric, "I wish I'd never seen your face." The opening notes of an electric guitar have the feel of a dark and stormy evening, much like the clouds of the album's cover. In a track-by-track description on the group's website, Williams describes the story behind each of the 12 cuts. Of this first one, she says, "This song pays homage to regret. Nearly everybody I've come across has somebody in their life that they wonder what life would have been like if they've never met that person. It's that sliding door moment. In the blink of an eye, everything could change, either for the positive or the negative." Wish you were the one that got away. I got caught up by the chase, and you got high on every little game. I wish you were the one. Wish you were the one that got away. Oh, if I could go back in time when you only held me in my mind. Since their split last fall, the duo has not spoken, and Williams has maintained the public face during the release of the album, telling NPR's All Things Considered, "There was always so much ease involved in working with John Paul, and I feel like that translated in the music, and that translated in our live stage performances. Over time, being on the road, that can be a long haul, and we agreed to a really breakneck pace, both of us, and I think that breakneck pace broke us a little bit. This is the perfect breakup CD. It makes me want to curl up under a blanket on a rainy day and cry, and cry, and cry. Though it tends to happen as I'm driving down the road." The song we heard in the beginning is same old, with lyrics that sing, "I want to leave you. I want to lose us. I want to give up, but I won't." When the newness disappears from a long-term relationship and the work begins, it's easy to get worn out, to lose track of why you got together to begin with. Perhaps my favorite song to cry to is Eavesdrop. It seems to come from that moment when you know that it's over. It's time to say goodbye. But you just don't want to. You aren't ready. I don't wanna talk right now. I just want your arms wrapped around me and this moment before it. Though the songwriting power of Williams and White is evident, much of the work on The Civil Wars was tuned and written on the front porch of Williams' home. The two often perform cover songs, and this album contains 2. The first, Tell Mama, originally recorded by Etta James, maintains the soulful feel of the original, yet turns it into a heartfelt ballad, losing the R&B beat so much that you almost miss it. But for this 90s child, my favorite is Disarm, originally recorded by the alternative rock band, The Smashing Pumpkins. Upon hearing the Civil War's version, I knew I recognized the song, yet could not place it. The soft strumming contrasts greatly with the hardcore picking of an electric guitar, and John Paul White's voice is soft and smooth compared to the high-pitched, raspy singing of Billy Corgan, causing the listener to focus in on the child-parent relationship the song describes. Does contain some upbeat songs. From This Valley reveals Williams' Christian background and White's Southern heritage with words such as, "To that mountain high above, I will pray, pray, pray until I see your smiling face." Sacred Heart is sung entirely in French, which I don't speak, but Williams does. It provides a feel of sitting in a Parisian cafe drinking coffee or wine with friends on a sunny, breezy afternoon. Ultimately, the Civil War self-titled second album is just that. A civil war. And though they aren't touring with the new songs, the words and music have the strength to stand on their own, which is something Williams, White, and all of the broken-hearted listeners must also do. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
Christina reviewed the second release by the duo The Civil Wars, titled simply enough, The Civil Wars. The band's website is thecivilwars.com.
Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. Support also comes from the Center for Arkansas and Regional Studies at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, dedicated to the celebration and documentation of this region's history and culture.
Thank you so much, Bob Hupp, for being on our Tin Roof project here on Tales from the South.
Our house was the third or fourth to be built, but there was a particularly unique aspect to this new neighborhood that I didn't come to appreciate until years after the fact. Playing in and around the newly cut streets and newly dug basements, we uncovered a treasure trove of artifacts that provided no end of fascination to a boy.
Tales from the South, Saturday afternoon at 3:30 on KUAF.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Purdy.
Purdy?
Mm-hmm.
Purdy, Arkansas.
Yes.
Where exactly is Purdy?
It's just north of Kingston in okay. Madison County.
Very good. Mm-hmm. You plan to go to Jersey Boys tonight?
That's my plan.
Opening night at Walton Arts Center.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Also, Savor the Flavor is
yes.
all over Fayetteville tonight.
It is. Looking forward to actually both of the events.
It is not on the calendar, but in our minds, though, it is fall, isn't it?
No.
Okay. You're still with summer?
Yes.
Even though we had the football game this weekend
and
the Naturals are done?
Nope.
I like your style thinking. Okay.
Nope. Still warm.
Fall is February or September 21st.
It's still a ways away.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
My name is Fernanda Grajeda.
We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new edition.
We will.
And thanks so much for listening. And it's not Monday. Been thinking it's Monday all day long. And it's going to continue all day long.
Sure. Well, it's Tuesday. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, have a pleasant Tuesday.